You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Friday, May 5th. That's right, Cinco de Mayo. Here are the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Get comfortable.
Alongside an uncomfortable Corey Parson.
Trying to move myself together.
Look, but sharp looking. Thank very you. Sharp tonight. The King, Scott Engel.
Not so sharp looking.
Wow. The King Slayer,
Matty Matica. Wow. Matty Matica is becoming the missing piece.
He is the King Slayer, Matt Modica.
See, I feel like I tease Scott, and yeah. Now he's going to like hold the grudge against
you. No, he's not.
No, I'm not. I'm going to hold the grudge against you.
He'll get you back at some point.
Go Senators.
That was a good one, yeah. Scott. Oh, go ahead, Greg. You finished introductions.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Next 2 hours, we got a lot of baseball to talk about, a lot of good stuff for the weekend. I also want to get into this morning Lonzo Ball a little bit because
$500
sneakers. $500
sneakers
because that's a thing, evidently.
Oh, I cool. can't.
What's popping, man?
Ain't nothing much. What's going on with you? So, yeah, so we got Lonzo Ball. And his $500 sneakers. They got the slides. The slides is $200. You know what I'm saying?
What is that?
Like flip flops. You know what I mean?
Oh, they're flip flops.
They got $200 ZO2 flip flops.
Are you kidding me?
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, he's a tough character. But you know what? I wonder if he's gonna get distribution for these $500 sneakers. And last night he tweeted, if the price is too high for you, it means you're not a big baller.
When did these sneakers come out?
They were announced yesterday.
Yesterday, but what's the release date on them?
I don't know.
Because I know sometimes I go down the block here on 34th,
yeah,
going towards 6th, and there's a Foot Locker, and I'll know a sneaker's come out because there's like a line.
Oh, yeah.
It's
not going to be no line for these joints.
No. Alonzo Bell autographed pair of shoes in the wet color scheme is being sold for $1,000.
Yeah.
What's the most expensive Jordans that have come out?
It's probably in two something.
In the past 2 years, yeah. The highest price for a pair of Jordan shoe release to the public has been $400.
The spike, right. the which ones? The Zikes?
Doesn't say. How much does Kanye shoes go for?
Oh, they something crazy like that too. Whole bunch of money. Kanye West is another character. Mm. Like Lonzo Ball.
The fish.
The Yeezys, right?
The Yeezys, yeah. The Yeezys. Lonzo Ball. Interesting dude.
Sure is.
He's a clown.
Didn't Kanye tell Mark Zuckerberg should write him like a check for like $60 million or something?
Who?
He's such a genius.
He's a clown. But, so I mean, I'm talking about the Pops is a clown. The one that's about to go in the first round of the draft,
Lonzo.
Yeah.
LeVar
yeah.
Lonzo.
Yeah, the one that's about to go in the draft, you know what I'm saying, and be a good NBA player, he just seems like a quiet young man who's probably just caught in the wrong situation, like his Pops is a little loose. But, it's going to end up backfiring on
like,
him.
You could definitely tell your pops, like, Dad, don't sell the shoes for $500.
No, he's not. They don't care. You
I just
know
got a text message. The Yeezys went for $220.
It's not bad.
Compared to $500 for Lonzo Ball's big baller brand.
Yeah. Who is this guy that he can release $500 shoes? They don't
he's
even know.
He's never played a game in the NBA.
Never did nothing.
Crazy. Scott King Angle, man.
Right, though. The sneakers is all right, too.
They look
not
good.
Bad
they look cool.
Shoes. Yeah,
they
huh?
look cool. Yeah, they look sharp.
Yeah. I would buy them.
I mean, anything compared to Steph Curry's
for you, it's you know, that's nothing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I didn't come at you. Go over there.
I'm just saying.
Go over there, right?
I'm just saying.
You live in Hawaii, and you're coming after me. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good.
You have to slay me, so.
Enjoyed doing a nice 2-hour show with you.
No, it was fun.
Went very quick.
Corey,
yeah.
Did you enjoy some Scott Engel this morning?
I didn't get a chance to listen to much of it. I was getting ready to come to work.
There's no cicada. It was
yeah, no,
he
I know that.
To gospel music on the way in.
I do.
Yes.
I know he does. It's wake up music.
What was I about to say? So Dane interviewed the dude from Fenway Park last night,
yeah!
Right?
Yeah!
So do we have that audio? Because I want to hear that.
I think we have that audio coming up this morning.
Who did he interview from Fenway Park?
He interviewed the dude that did the pointing out.
That did,
right? That's what the that story is,
that
right?
That pointed yes. out the guy that...
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a story that there was a vendor that was working there and said that, like, nothing ever like that happened. Kurt Schilling was backing him up.
Kurt yeah, Schilling. Kurt Schilling. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about Kurt Schilling today. I can't wait to talk about the things that Kurt Schilling said yesterday.
Matt, how are you?
Hey, it's Cinco de Mayo.
It is Cinco de Mayo. Man. How you
the Mexicans have allowed us to get drunk today.
So we're off the rails already. But let me tell you something.
I always remember last Cinco de Mayo when our president was eating a burrito. He said, yeah, I love Mexicans.
Oh, yeah, that's
maybe
right.
I'd stop by and get traditional Tex-Mex at Trump Tower.
We are off and running. It's Friday. It's Cinco de Mayo. We're having a great time. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way. Next. So I was just saying during the break, I'm watching this terrible show, Designated Survivor. And, you know, I get product placement. We work in television. We work in radio where we have to, you know, do some advertising, sell sponsors or whatever. I've never seen anything like this ever in my life, what they did, this horrible show. So I get it. May I just borrow your phone for 1 second, Corey? I need to demonstrate.
Don't.
I won't go back to the
swipe.
Pictures.
Don't swipe left or right. Don't swipe left or right.
I'm actually going to turn it off.
Yeah.
So in this show, they had the phone.
What's
right?
the name of the show?
Designated Survivor.
Right.
They had the phone. And like, all right, some bad guy like drives in the car and they like... He's all smug to like the good guy and like drives away, right? So they immediately go to like the Maggie Q, who is the female lead in the show. They immediately like go to her on her phone. I'm like, oh, like clearly they're showing that she's tracking the bad guy, right? Like, all right, pretty simple. They zoom in on the phone like an overhead shot. So the only thing you can see is her finger like this, her phone in her hand, right? They're showing you on the phone that she's starting her Ford vehicle from her phone, like, you know, automatic starter, start car. And it was just zoomed in on the app that shows you, oh, look, Ford has an automatic starter that you can activate from your iPhone. I thought it was the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life.
Product placement.
Now, I don't understand, yeah. though. I don't get this, though. Explain this to me. You said the show was so bad
yeah.
that you've watched 18 episodes. How can you watch something 18 episodes if you think it's so bad?
You know, it's called hate watching.
Oh. Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's hate watching. I sit right. here and I make fun of things like the acting, the show, like the president's wife.
But yet you're still compelled to watch for some reason.
Not really. It's kind of just, it's something to watch. Like the president's wife in the show, like clearly in real life is like English.
Yeah.
And like her accent like comes out all the time. She's a terrible actress. I notice things like that.
So you're watching it because it's so bad that you just keep poking at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is anybody excited for Twin Peaks, which comes back on
Twin Peaks? Twin Peaks is before my time. So for me to get back, I'm like, I can't get into it. I guess Scott and Corey really.
No, I never watched it.
You gave me a diabolical look over there.
Diabolical. Good word.
Hey, I wanted to, I did want to just kind of wrap up a conversation that Scotty and I were having before we get into the baseball from yesterday. Scotty and I were having this kind of an angle a little while ago. And Corey, I know you kind of feel strongly about this in particular. So I had said, if you get someone to manage your team or to help you manage your team,
yeah,
right. But that person wins the ship,
yeah.
That's your chip. Like you ran the team. Like you own the team. You hired a manager.
Yeah,
a
it's
manager.
Your chip.
It's
yeah.
your chip, right?
Yeah.
So to me, it was almost like I'm the owner. I hired a general manager. They did their job.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a chip, and I'm cool with that. Scotty, on the other hand, thinks it's wrong that it was not your chip. Like, for instance, if he owned the fantasy hockey team and he hired George Kurtz to run the team,
yeah,
that wouldn't be his chip, and I think it would be.
That's his chip.
Yeah, of course.
No, it's not my championship. I did none of the work to earn it.
But you hired the right person.
I'm a fantasy sponsor. That's what I am.
I think it depends. I think, look, if say you were playing in a high-stakes league and you got somebody who is really good at either baseball or football, whatever, and you partnered up with them and you
right.
said, look, you're a Hall of Famer,
yeah.
you're this, you're that.
Right.
I'm gonna go half with you.
Yeah.
You run the team.
Yeah.
And if you're just in it for the money aspect of
yes.
it, that's fine. if you have somebody run your team and then you say you win and you go around saying, like, you're the best and, you know.
No, I don't think you can do that.
That
yeah.
You can't.
Yeah, you can't do that.
That part you
yeah.
can't do.
You can't walk around the title.
That's what I've been trying to say, yeah.
No, you can't do that. But it's still your chip. Yeah.
Not really, no.
Because
the other person did all the work.
Who gets the money?
Doesn't matter. Like, you're your fantasy sponsor.
You heard what he
said. You're a fantasy
That's
sponsor.
That's the difference between me and him.
Right. The difference between me and him is like I like to earn any glory that I have. You know what, though? And I said this, and I'm going to say this again. I have seen this from you, Corey. I know that when you put your mind to any fantasy sport, that you can be good at it. Okay? If you hire somebody else to run your team, though, and they win the championship, to me, they're the real winner and not you.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'll give you another example. I hear a lot of people, oh, yeah, like say like the stock market. Oh, I'm killing it in the market this year. Or, you know, meanwhile, they have somebody managing their portfolio.
Yeah.
And
sure.
All yeah. that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Like me, like I have money invested. I cannot tell you a single thing. I don't know anything about the stock market. I have a guy that does it. If I'm killing it or getting crushed, not really me, but like I'll certainly reap the benefits monetarily or get crushed monetarily. Yeah, I agree. Scott's just staring at me blankly.
I can never understand that.
Yeah. And you know how this started, Corey, right? This conversation.
Something about City Field?
No, the Miz beat Scott.
Who is the Miz?
This is wrestler. This washed up wrestler.
Is that washed up?
Yeah.
Wait, did he win this week?
He's not washed up. He won the main event or Raw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes, we did mention him the other day.
Yes, he's Mike Mizanin. He's a former member of the Real World cast.
Yeah.
I've never watched an episode.
That was interesting because my wife would watch the Real World, and she knew who the Miz was before he became a wrestler. And then when she found out that I was in the same league, she's like, oh, I like him. He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
Let him beat you.
There you go.
Scott, I know fantasy talent. Trust me when I tell you that one right there.
Well,
you know how to, but you don't have to do that though, Corey. You can put your own mind to it and win. You don't have to do something like that.
I always win, Scott.
No, you don't.
I win right.
Are we not excited for this
afternoon's
matchup of Aaron Judge versus Kyle Hendricks?
Very, very excited.
I'm quite nervous as a Kyle Hendricks.
I'm sure.
I'm going to be quite honest.
88, boom.
I'm very excited. Cubs, Yankees all week. We got a little afternoon game today. We Sunday night baseball on Sunday. Yeah, I'm very excited for all of this.
I recommend anybody that has the chance to have a frozen margarita
by the
on
way.
This wonderful day. No, and watch Yankees.
I'll be having. Maybe we should do that at 2 o'clock. Frozen margaritas here.
Cool.
By the way, happy birthday to two fantasy guys that. Kind of in our circle. Happy birthday to Glenn Lowy today.
Oh, Glenn's a good man.
Glenn. Big fan of Glenn.
Happy birthday to our friend Kenny from Philly.
Don't know Kenny, but happy birthday, Kenny.
Yeah. Corey knows Kenny.
I like Kenny from Philly.
Yeah.
He's a fan. He's a longtime fan, friend of Roto Experts in the Morning.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I think it's interesting to have your birthday here on Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, Glenn may actually be, if he's not the, he's one of the best with like baseball and football. How he does it in the high stakes. Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing.
Vaccaro.
Yeah, Vaccaro's another awesome player.
All right, that's going to be baseball from last night. We waited long enough. We got into it because I'm very excited. Does anyone know why I'm excited?
No.
Byron Buxton went 4-for-5?
No, because he got hurt. He got hurt. No, close though. Somebody else may have done something similar, Matt. Plays for a team. In the major leagues.
I know you're not excited about Joe Musgrove. So
no, Marlon Gonzalez, Tim Beckham.
No. We talked about those players already, Scott.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited because due to all the postponements, due to the limited number of games, I was forced to start everybody in my lineup yesterday, which means in my lineup.
Daily moves?
Yes, of course. Okay. Was Keon Broxton yesterday.
Yeah. I thought about you last night. I can't believe
it. You said Keon Broxton was 4-for-5. You said somebody else was 4-for-5, didn't you?
Yeah.
I thought I said Keon Broxton.
Keon Broxton went yard last night.
I thought you said somebody else was 4-for-5.
That's what I said. Keon Broxton went 4-for-5.
I thought you said somebody else was 4-for-5.
Keon Broxton's hitting, by the way.
Then I heard he got hurt, and I'm like thinking in my head.
No, he didn't say Keon Broxton. He said Byron Buxton was 4-for-5.
Did I say Byron Buxton?
And we said he got hurt. Okay, I knew I wasn't crazy. Okay. You said Byron Buxton.
Keon Broxton was what I meant.
Yes.
Keon Broxton's hit 381 over his past eight
games. Keon Broxton all the way up to 234, 4-for-5 with a home run last night. Let's go!
Yeah, he's rocking and rolling.
381 over the past eight games.
Is it more impressive, Scott, that Keon Broxton hit a home run or he didn't strike out last night?
That he didn't strike out because he's been striking out a lot.
Yeah!
I think you're going to continue to get the strikeouts, but this shows you what Keon Broxton can do and why sometimes you have to be patient because you haven't cut him, and now look how happy you are today.
Oh, my God, I feel great today.
Yeah.
I feel great. Hernan Perez went 3-for-5 last night. My Brewers!
Hernan Perez would look so good in a Met
uniform. I know we say this every day, but it's true. This is like, it just feels good, man. It feels good when your sucky players do well. Like, I mean, even Kevin Kiermaier didn't do too badly last night.
Like,
is Broxton really a sucky player? Come on.
It's May. Well, look, we still have to, like I said, it's after the first month, everybody looks at their teams. I know people say, oh, I don't look at the standings until the end of May. You just can't help but look at them. And whether you're in first place or middle of the pack or last, there's 5 months to go.
There's a lot of baseball left to be played.
I want to see where you are at the All-Star break. That's the whole key to me. At the All-Star break, you want to be, you know, either top three or in striking distance.
What was it Corey would say? It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
He's right here. You can say it if you want.
Yep. I'm just giving credit too. For that.
I believe that's a Papa Parson passage.
We haven't heard Papa Parson in a while.
I heard from him last night. He's chilling.
He's chilling. Do you have any words of wisdom?
Well, he did, but not to you. He was talking about... never mind.
We'll get more to Brewers Cardinals Tampa Bay as well. And Joe Musgrove. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the morning right after this. Yeah, Roto Experts in the morning. And then I said, Hernan Perez, 3-for-5. Travis Shaw was 3-for-4. And then Keon Broxton with the big night, 4-for-5. Broxton and Jesus Aguilar go deep. Aguilar's first home run of the year. Remember when he was splitting time with Eric Thames? Because I don't. That was a while ago.
Well, yeah, that was annoying.
Yes. For St. Louis, though, not a great night, Corey, as both Dexter Fowler and Stephen Piscotty go down.
That's going to be tough. They might, you know what? I'm losing another player on my damn Tout Wars team. Mm-hmm. What do they want me to do?
I don't know.
How the hell am I supposed to compete with Adam Ronis if everybody on a damn disabled list?
I got nothing for you.
This is horrible.
One of the guys that St. Louis is going to call up to replace either Fowler or Piscotty.
Who are they going
to
get?
He's going to be Tommy Pham. I brought up Tommy Pham in the first 2 hours of this morning. And I kind of like Tommy Pham. Scott was like, there's nothing really relevant here. But I wanted to ask you, Modica.
I don't know. He's like the poor man's John Jay.
Yeah. You don't think he's got more power than John Jay?
I mean, John Jay can hit 8 or 9 homers if you played a full season. Look, Tommy Pham might come up, have a hot week or two.
Yeah.
But, you know. And like I said, in a deep league, if you have a bunch of injuries like everybody else does and you need to fill a spot, yeah. But, I mean, I'm not really. 12 team, absolutely not.
All right.
And the only guy.
Yep, yeah. Adam Wainwright, 5 innings, 10 hits, 4 runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. He's been bad this season.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to get any better. No. Is he rosterable right now in the 12-team league?
Great question.
No.
On
the 12-team.
That's
unanimous.
Well, that's really interesting, guys. You both, without hesitation, not even rosterable. You are the guys that don't want to drop anybody, and you're telling me this guy's not rosterable.
In a 12-team,
I would say that's not accurate in the fact that I never wanted to roster Wainwright in the first place.
So interesting.
I do believe I gotta check this, but I think he might have like the biggest discrepancy between like ERA minus FIP, but you know, I'm just trying to throw some positivity out there for him.
There you go.
I know we wanted to get now into Cincinnati and Pittsburgh because, you know, Billy Hamilton stole another base.
He stole another base?
Yeah, of course. 4-2, Cincinnati wins this game. It's Tim Adelman, 6 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, 5 strikeouts. Raisel Iglesias, his 5th save of the year. He's been really, really good.
He's been wrong.
He was somebody I was wrong about, by the way. Totally wrong about during the spring. While Ivan Nova drops to 3-3, 10 hits, 4 runs. Doesn't walk anybody, obviously. 5 strikeouts here.
One of the one of the things that you mentioned, that he didn't walk anybody. He's now had 17 straight starts with not more than one walk. Nobody's done that in nearly 100 years.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't walk anybody, yeah. But the problem was he was way too easy to hit yesterday.
Yeah, his two worst starts this year have come against Cincinnati. But look, you know, 4 earned runs, 5 strikeouts. The guy was the pitcher of the month. You're not going to be great every time out. You know, at least he didn't get blown up.
Yeah, I mean, look, he got hit around yesterday. This is going to happen from time to time. Yeah, I think sometimes, though, it depends. You don't always have to be, you know, you got to make them chase a little, I think.
Yeah. You know, look, if this is a bad start, help your whip with 10 hits, but I'm not worried about Ivanova.
For Pittsburgh, you had 2 hits for Josh Bell, 2 hits for Frankie Cervelli. For Cincinnati, I mentioned Billy Hamilton's 16th stolen base of the year. Adam Duvall, your guy, had a triple last night.
Yeah, he had a triple, but he didn't have no home runs. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And this team is getting hard. It's hard to feel a team. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to feel a damn team.
15-teamers are not an easy...
this is ridiculous. God, I lose Cole Hamels, Dexter Fowler this week, J.D. Martinez, Adrian Beltre. I'm getting sick of this.
Yeah, Adrian Beltre is annoying.
Time to start hitting the trade trail.
At least you can trade. That's true.
How to make a trade.
Make a trade with Rodas.
Speaking of trades...
I don't like him.
Speaking of trades when it comes to Pittsburgh... Sky, I know you were hearing.
Yeah, there's an article in the New York Daily News this morning from John Harper about why it would make sense for the Yankees and the Pirates to trade Gerrit Cole for Clint Frazier around the deadline. And we'll hear from Clint Frazier and at the park this morning, by the way. But
so far away the deadline.
If the Yankees continue to contend that they won't be able to sign Cole, when his free agent contract comes up. After next year, the Yankees did pass on Chris Sale, but maybe this is what Harper's saying. Maybe they'll rethink it. And if they need another pitcher, if they can continue to contend, that there'll be other guys available. But Cole at 26, as the Yankees continue to look towards the future, would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, but I think I don't dispute that Cole will be traded at the deadline. That's a very real possibility. But I think the Pirates are looking for like a Chris Sale type of deal where they're getting multiple top prospects.
I don't see the Yankees doing that for 1 year.
Don't the Yankees have a pretty good farm system at this point?
They have the second best farm system in all baseball. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're doing that for 1 year of Gerrit Cole. They're not going to. They built this.
You don't think with money coming off the books there that they can afford to sign Cole for the long haul?
They can go nobody and sign him next year.
Here's the problem I have with the Yankees getting
Cole.
You
want to contend this year, though. That's the whole point.
That's actually not the point at all. Not a necessity. I don't want to contend this year.
No, I'm saying if the Yankees are in it, you know, especially towards the deadline, and you know, a piece like Gerrit Cole can help you contend.
If he stays healthy.
And then he can help you contend this year, next year, and in the future.
If you sign him.
You know, why would the Yankees be able to sign him?
Because they're going to have to save up money for Manny Machado and Bryce Harper.
They're not going to get both of them, though.
But here's the problem I have.
Why would you want to get a Harper and a Cole? That would make a lot of sense.
I'm more interested in Harper and Machado.
Yeah, I think you're throwing things out there to like pie in the sky kind of things where Cole could be realistic and you could still get a Harper or a Machado next year.
Yeah, but see, the problem I think is the Pirates are going to want a very good pitching prospect back in that deal. And I don't see where the Yankees have that right now.
With the second best farm system in the majors?
But a lot of them are hitters.
Right.
And so they are hitter-based. I mean, the one, like their top prospect was Michael Caprellian, and he's getting...
James Caprellian.
What if they got Clint Frazier and another top prospect?
But I'm trying to say they want pitching. You know, they're going to want to replace that pitcher. Part of the reason they're going to deal Cole is Cole's got, what, 1 more year after this?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it does make sense. I'm agreeing with you that the Yankees getting him, they have him this year, and they have him next year under contract. And every team is going to look at that, and that's why he's very valuable to trade now. Because you're not just getting him for, say, 2-3 months.
Yeah.
You're getting him for a year and a half.
Well, I'll say this. Gerrit Cole and the Yankees have had an infatuation with each other. I shouldn't say that. The Yankees had an infatuation with Gerrit Cole because they drafted him. They originally drafted him in the first round, and they couldn't sign him. And eventually he went to school, came out, went higher, And then, you know, yeah, he's in Pittsburgh, obviously. Yankees have always loved Garrett Cole. So that's why it's not as unrealistic. I just do not see the they've stacked and stacked and stacked prospects. I don't see them giving a Chris Sale package for this guy.
How crazy is it the Yankees couldn't sign Garrett Cole? just that long.
Amazing to me. I was shocked. Like, I'm shocked that anyone turns down the Yankees. I really am. All right, let's talk about Joe Musgrove, guys. I sat here yesterday morning on the air. I was like, I'm starting Joe Musgrove today. I don't want to. I want nothing to do with it. And within seconds, Joe Musgrove let up four runs.
Like, so they sang the national anthem.
I would love to be watching like a game with Sussman, like when this happens, like the incident. Like he's probably like, he's
okay. Okay.
That would be his reaction.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the hell just happened.
Same. I was doing a Sussman reaction to one of these.
Corey was sitting next to me during this. And now we were hosting the Fantasy News Desk, brought to you by New York Daily News every day.
New York's hometown paper.
That's right. And I was asked a football question, and I completely ignored the question, like Scott does the most of my questions. And I said, and I said, oh, Joe Musgrove, just a freaking four runs.
Did you cut him?
I tried to cut him this morning. I didn't know who to cut him for. That's a problem. Like I was looking at like the pitchers that were pitching this weekend, and there's just like nobody good pitching this weekend. I couldn't cut him.
Nobody can stream this weekend?
Unless you guys have anybody.
I haven't looked at all the matchups yet.
Yeah, I have to look at the matchups.
Yeah, I was trying to look for a good stream, but like yeah. I'm
like, who's pitching against San Diego and Kansas City this weekend?
That's a good question. I'm so done with Joe Musgrove. It's like, I tried.
Yeah.
It didn't work out.
A lot of these young pitchers.
Josh Tomlin's against KC. He has an 8.87 ERA here.
It's going to go down.
You were right. Yeah, I'm going to chase you because you were right yesterday.
Derek Holland.
I gotta give you credit. Yeah. I have to give you credit yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Joe Musgrove, and then we'll get to that.
I didn't get to play daily last night. I was very upset.
Because you knew
something happened personally where I couldn't get to do my lineups.
Right.
And I was like, man, I really wanted to start Holland
you
yesterday.
It was all you, man. It was all you. So yesterday, Musgrove goes four innings, five runs, four of them were earned, three walks, five strikeouts at least. You know how I feel about dropping guys after this performance. Matt, would you drop him?
And like I said, in the 12-team league, he was a streamable guy. He wasn't a guy that – it was more of a back end. I think he's going to be a better major leaguer, as I stated, than like fantasy. Maybe like in another year or two, he's a better fantasy option if he learns another pitch to get some more swing and misses. I think that's his biggest problem.
Right.
Musgrove is like one of these kind of young guys where you get the pedigree here, a lot of the excitement, but he's just not ready to compete – at the major league level, and that's why I believe it is. In a 12-team league, always had the context, well, like Luke, you just said, Greg, who do you pick him up? But
yeah, Robert Gesellman's out there, I guess you guys are wondering.
I'm getting nervous with this velocity
I don't know about Gesellman. It's like, it's not safe, but in a 15-team league, you put him on the bench, there's still enough talent there, and there's not a lot out there in a 15.
I might actually cut him for Gesellman and just take a shot because if Gesellman has a good start and gets things on track,
it's like where do you even see like a good start?
What are weigh-in chances over him?
Who's he
facing?
Mets. Gesellman versus Chen.
Chen did last time. Well, last time I think out against the Mets at City Field.
I don't want these guys. AJ Griffin returns from the disabled list. 5 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, 1 were earned. Yeah, Scott.
He is now 6-0.
Could you wait till I finish the line at least?
Yeah.
6 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. The only runs he allowed. Come on the, who else? Marco Gonzalez, 9th home run of the year. Marwin Gonzalez.
I was about to say, who's Marco Gonzalez?
He's a player on the Red Sox. Marwin Gonzalez, 9th home run of the year.
AJ Griffin's now 6-0 lifetime against the Astros. Remember that daily play. It's every time he faces Houston. And Marwin Gonzalez, 4 home runs in the last 4 games, 6 in the last 6, and 13 RBIs during that span. And the guy plays about every position in fantasy.
Without having pressure on him, Matt Bush came in. A couple walks to hit, but there's no pressure on him. So it's all fine.
No, it's easier when you got it done like that.
Rougned Odor homers in the second game. We actually talked about homer yesterday in the news. That's why I got confused. Joey Gallo with his 9th home run. Elvis Andrus with his 5th home run of the year. Really nice hitting day for Texas all around. While Houston, we'll get more into Marwin Gonzalez as we did before. We'll get more into that on this very program when we return. And also get into Derek Holland and KC. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way next. That's a sexual harassment.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you...
Who got sexually harassed?
I'm glad you asked the question. It was brought up on Sakana Angle this morning. Would you like to know the answer to that question?
About sexual... Who got somebody sexually harassed Scott?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Did Scott sexually harass somebody?
Yes.
Scott, who would you sexually harass?
He admitted... Hold on a second. That's sexual harassment.
Yep.
He admitted it on the air. Mike, do we have the full clip here?
Oh, Lord, Scott. You sexually harassed somebody. We're going to lose you.
Yeah, we were friends first. We actually like worked next door to each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
In Queens.
What did you do and she did?
I worked for a community paper.
Okay.
In Queens.
Yep.
Mike Florio will know it, the Queens Courier. I was the editor of the entire paper after being promoted from sports editor.
Excellent. That's very cool.
She worked next door at another type of publication that was a newspaper. It was an advertising paper.
Okay.
She worked right next door.
Interesting. That's very cool.
And then she... a friend of hers actually like got a job with us as a photographer, one of her coworkers, and then she asked about could she do a writing internship, and she had to come see me about it, and I kind of misused my power there.
Wow, yeah. An abuse of power from the king. Mm-hmm. What did you say? Did you be like, listen, if you go on a date with me, I'll give you the internship?
At one point, I said, look, you want to discuss your article, we're going to have to go out to dinner and discuss it.
That's sexual harassment. That's sexual harassment.
That's what like Bill O'Reilly paid millions of dollars for. Things.
Like, she didn't like that. She didn't react to it. That's like the casting couch. We remained friends, and then one night she
So this line didn't work.
It didn't work?
She could have sued you for a lot of money.
Not that type of person, but... you know, and she ended up dating like some other people that I knew, but eventually what happened was is, you know, when those things just came and went, she had a 4th of July party one night and she invited me over, and then that was it.
So she had a 4th of July. So you remained friends even though you sexually harassed her.
Yeah.
And there you go. It's a story of how Scott met his wife.
That was pretty amazing.
Yep.
Any thoughts, Corey? I thought you might be interested in that.
Yeah, no, that was Scott. That's sexual harassment. But I'm glad it worked out. You know what I'm saying? Glad it worked out.
Worked out for the reverse. Actually.
Yeah, 20 something years later,
You were like a young Bill Clinton.
Yeah, and now you don't get sex at all. So there you go.
That's why I'm touching you, honey. I need it.
Back to Texas and Houston here. Marwin Gonzalez is 9th home run of the year. This is a guy that's really gotten hot this week, so he may still be out there on waivers that just run this upcoming weekend. Matt, if that's the case, how much money are you spending on him?
I'm not going to spend a lot of money
on him.
In a 15-team league. Look, the thing with this, with him, he's a guy, if I had a major league team, this is like the ultimate bench player you want to have. He's like a Swiss Army knife. Yes, I mean, look, he's got about 9 homers. He's never hit more than, I don't know, 13, 14 in a season. I am of the belief that the home runs are just going to keep on coming this season for everyone.
Yeah, I know.
So,
you said that.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, how much is he going to play? There's so many mouths to feed in Houston. He's hit the home runs when given the opportunity. Yes, I just can't see spending a lot of money on him.
I had the same question as you. And then I read up on it, and AJ Hinch says he's going to have to get used to feeling like an everyday player because I'm going to get him in there as much as I can. One day I can use him in left field of Ryoki. The next day I can use him in center field of Mariznick. He has hit his way into the lineup. Now, what's interesting about him is his walk rate is up. His strikeouts are down. The hard hit rate is up to a point where it's going to come down, and the high run to fly ball rate, it's going to come down, but he's got a 190 BABIP, and he's still hitting over 260. So I think this guy is somebody who could hit to about 270, 275 with 25 home runs, and it depends on your need. You know, in one league, I need a guy who can play first base. I'm going to put on a nice bid for him. I'm going to bid about $260 for him.
Well, that is aggressive. I couldn't do it, and I'm not disputing what you're saying. My thing is, say he plays every day. They say, you know what,
Marwin, you're a guy.
You got an everyday role. Yep. I don't know where you're going to play. I can see him getting exposed over that amount of time.
Right.
It's different when, you know, you're getting put into matchups and stuff like that. I think he's a good. I think he has a place. He was somebody I wouldn't mind having on my bench.
Okay.
Somebody I can insert into my lineup.
He's eligible everywhere.
For me, I'm not saying I'm right, but for me, I couldn't spend 25% of my budget.
What impressed me about him is I talk about baseball being a constant game of adjustments. He came out of the gate hot. He went ice cold. He got hot again. So to me, that tells me this is a guy, when the league adjusts to him, he can adjust back.
Now, Scott, another guy that you've been impressed with this season a lot, it's Derek Holland. You've run him up quite a few times. I didn't get it. It didn't make sense to me. And then you
Say I was impressed with him.
You were in on Derek Holland, whatever the verbiage is. You were in on Derek Holland. And it's not just yesterday. You've talked about him on multiple occasions.
No, I was in on him yesterday. Before yesterday, what I said was, when we talk about guys that have been performing well who are due to regress, he was like the ideal guy to me, but it wasn't going to happen yesterday.
But you also thought he was been pretty good.
He has, and I think he's going to regress, but I said against Kansas City, he was a great streamer.
Holland yesterday, 6 2/3, 3 hits, 2 runs. One of them were earned. He struck out 7. On the other side, IPK, Ian Patrick Kennedy, 4 1/3, 6 hits, 5 runs. 4 of them were earned, 3 strikeouts, and he left this game hurt.
Can we just go back to Joe Gallo 1 second?
Oh, yes.
I did want to mention something on
Gallo's
here.
9th home run of the year last night as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that's striking out about 30% of the time.
Yep.
But we need to look where he – look at his previous little stints in MLB where he was striking out like over 50% of the time. He's striking out 38% of the time while slugging over 500. He's got 4 stolen bases. He's only 23 years old. I mean, he's got a hard hit rate of over 50. He's like Aaron Judge with no batting average. This is what he's really like.
Sure.
I mean, I don't see him, say Beltre ever gets healthy again and comes back, hopefully, you know, at some point this season. I just don't see him, you know, I don't see his playing time getting diminished. And the only reason I'm bringing it up, because it's kind of funny, like, we look at players now in this time where everybody's hitting 20 homers and everybody's doing this. But I just think there's something more to Gallo. I'm not saying he's going to be this average hitter, but I think there is something better coming.
Well, I think it's interesting because he has 9 home runs. He's stolen 4 bases. He's got a bunch of ribbies and a bunch of runs scored. He is filling up the scorecard here is Joey Gallo. And yes, he strikes out 40% of the time. It's very frustrating. And yes, the average is very bad at 211. But everything, all this power, the speed combination, it's real.
And he's got a 370 WOBA, which is pretty nice to see.
Right. It's real, what he's doing, I think. And I agree. When Belichick goes back, he's not going back to the minors. Like, he's off the stay. It's here.
Yeah. Imagine somebody told you before the season that you could have a Chris Carter with the bonus of stolen bases. You'd take it because there'd always be people like, okay, at some point I'm taking Chris Carter because the power is going to be there.
Take it. I wanted the real Chris Carter.
Can he not be Chris Davis of the Orioles?
But more speed.
You know, I mean, yeah. he could bat 224 and 42 home runs.
100%.
Which is Chris Carter.
And we're already seeing it. All right.
By the way, on Derek Holland, I'm sorry.
Yep.
On Derek Holland, it's interesting because, like, it's his BABIP's only like 210. But here's the interesting thing on Holland. You know, at face value, I'll say, okay, you know, there's no track record there. But what's very interesting is how he's changed his arsenal. He's thrown his fastball only 45% of the time this year. That is career low. He is throwing his slider 22.9% of the time, which is up from nearly 14%. He's throwing his curveball more, 22% of the time, which is a career high. And he's also mixing in the change a little bit more. He has completely changed his arsenal.
Yeah, he has, except against the Yankees, who he can't beat for the life of him. For Ian Kennedy, though, he's up to a solid start here this year. And I was in on him, and I liked Ian Kennedy despite not having a win. Now, he left this game with right medial hamstring strain. What is the medial?
Where's Jeff?
All right, so
we get Jeff for you?
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Bring him over here. Yeah. So I'm going to break this down for you. He has a right medial hamstring strain, right?
Yes. Doctor, is it medial or medial?
Medial.
Yes.
You're the assistant, Scott. Where's my pointer?
Your what?
My pointer.
That's personal.
No, not that one. That's not the pointer, Scott.
Yeah.
All right, it's Greg setting up Jeff right okay. now.
No, for those of you listening on radio, Corey has a skeleton. He calls Jeff.
Yeah, Scott, dude, Scott, get your mouth away from his from his midsection.
Okay, I'll leave that for you.
Is there some like Trump Putin joke coming here,
Scott? So this is so basically this is your right hamstring right here. Right.
Can I touch the same thing on you?
No, don't touch nothing on me. So this is his right hamstring right here, right? So basically, now what's the young man's name again? He's a pitcher.
Yeah, he's not a young man, really.
So really, when he's throwing, right, his motion, he's putting extra force on this area right here.
Right.
And that causes it to strain and get inflamed.
Right.
And then through the inflammation and through him consistently pushing off this leg, he ripped up the medial in the hamstring.
You grabbed that bone so naturally.
Corey has perfected stroking the skeleton. I have to say that.
Well, Vika.
Hey, skeleton. Hey, Scott. Hey, Scott. Scott, touch skeleton butt.
Only if I can touch yours. So
nah, sorry,
Scott,
Greg.
Touch the skeleton's butt.
Oh, God, Greg. Stop acting like
Greg's
that,
above
Greg.
It.
Yeah. Greg's above reproach.
Yeah. Right. $495 sneakers, too good for us.
I didn't buy.
Why did he go back to the sneakers?
I really don't know. It's kind of his thing.
Florio got a haircut for Best Friends Forever live stream.
Doesn't look great.
I like it.
What, Greg? Since you said that, why don't you describe it?
I think he looks a lot like Frank Stanfield. They really, you know, that's a Frank Stanfield haircut, right?
It is. Describe this it, is not please. A compliment. I'm having yeah.
it's like the back of his head is sort of bald, whoa. Right?
Well, his entire size and back of his head is bald. He's got this.
I like it. If I was 25, I'd be
this,
doing that too.
He's got this what?
I like it. I think it's jazzy.
Can somebody thank describe you, it for our listening audience?
Florio, I'm not you, ripping Matt. Your haircut. I like it.
Mike, could you describe your haircut for the listening audience?
My head is shaved on the side, and on the top, I'm growing my hair out.
Yeah, what's wrong with
but
that?
But I don't have a man bun like Frank did. Like, Frank left the back long. I have my whole hair is really long.
Mm. Yeah, I cannot condone
that. Greg doesn't I'm like it, Mike.
Well, Greg's had the same haircut since he's 12.
This is true.
He's not false. He hasn't even known me since I was 12, but he's right. I have not had different haircuts since I was 12.
I'd like to see Sussman with a fro. That'd be pretty cool.
See, the problem is I only get a Jew fro.
Yeah, well, that's
so curly.
Every time I picture a young Scott Angle, I picture a Jew fro.
I did have it, though. I had the feathered hair.
The feathered hair?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. We got to get some pictures look. Of young
we've seen this. We have seen Scott with hair once, I think, on a picture. I saw a picture of you with hair once.
I'll bring in some pictures.
I had seen.
Please don't.
By the way,
when are you going to bring in some pictures of you?
Don't worry about
come
it.
On,
you
honey.
Look at me every day. Yeah. Scott, please stop. He's sexually harassing people again, Greg.
Yeah.
I'm going to call the cops on your ass, though.
You stroked the skeleton.
Yeah, you saw that?
Quick announcement here. Jay Cutler has officially been hired by NFL.
Nice.
By Fox.
Good job.
He'll be on the number two announced team.
He's going to pout on national
television.
With
Kevin Burkhardt and Charles Davis.
I'd love to see him light a cigarette.
Oh, him and Kevin Burkhardt. That's going to be good.
Jay Burkhardt's Cutler, awesome. Kevin Burkhardt, and Charles Davis.
Nice crew right there. That's a good crew.
You know that crew?
Yeah, that's a good crew.
Jay Cutler's not likable, though.
He'll be fine in the booth, Scott.
I don't know.
You don't even know Jay Cutler. How are you saying he's not likable? You don't know nothing about Jay Cutler.
When you see him on the field and the sidelines, he's crying and pouting.
Christy Cavalieri likes him.
The first thing I learned when I moved to Chicago was how the hatred of Jay Cutler. Yeah. Most people hated him.
Yeah, but they're not going to hate him personally. They don't know the man personally.
Well, I'm saying, you know, as you see him on the field, he's not a likable guy.
What do you mean?
He's always pouting. He's always complaining.
Have you ever talked to Jay Cutler?
I'm talking about the on-field Jay Cutler. He's not a likable product.
He builds orphanages in third world countries, Scott.
I'm sure he does. Jose Abreu, by the way, his fourth home run of the year. Abreu, one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now.
Abreu is on fire.
My man Matt Davidson also hit his fifth last night.
Broke the 0-for-17 slump.
Good job. Hey, when we come back, we're going to hear from Clint Frazier. When Roto Experts goes to the park. It's Roto Experts at the park next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's that time of the morning, 8:55, which means we head at the park. We are going back Triple A, Scotty.
Yeah.
Scranton Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, our Michael Waterloo was out there this week when Scranton Wilkes-Barre was facing the Iron Pigs over in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
I saw the Iron Pigs last year.
Yeah, and check out the full Roto Experts at the Park right now, a video interview Mike did with Gary Sanchez.
There you go.
And also audio of Clint Frazier, and here is an excerpt from that interview.
One of the big trends in baseball right now is launch angle and exit velocity. More people, more hitters are trying to refine their swings to get the ball in the air more. Is that anything that you've really paid attention to, or your hitting coaches?
I haven't heard anyone talk about launch angle or ball exit speed this year, but you know, it's part of the game right now. But I think it's just about putting the barrel on the ball, and whatever happens after that's not in your control.
It's like he's almost the opposite of Ryan Zimmerman and Daniel Murphy here, right? Like exit velocity. Like they're looking literally at exit velocity and hard hit percentage, and this guy has no idea what they're talking about.
Well, this is like the recent at the park that's also up on Roto Experts right now for me, where Chris Spire talks about and Daniel Murphy talks about it depends on who you are. It's like Murphy says, and you can listen to that interview on demand too. Murphy says it depends on the individual. For me, I like to crunch fan graphs. Other guys, like Chris Spire says, tend to go by feel.
Yeah, no, I get it. But I feel like the people that tend to go by feel aren't doing their best service.
Well, some guys don't want to pay attention to the fans.
Maybe they just
want to go by feel.
That's stupid.
But like Mike says in his article, though, maybe nobody has talked about him at the minor league level. But when you get into the major leagues, you get at a more advanced level, you're going to get a lot more input from your hitting coaches. Like Kevin Long has also said on demand, the Mets hitting coach, he has said that, you know, that they listen to that. It's not the only thing, but they absorb that. The Mets have like a research guy, TJ Barra, who feeds that to a lot of the coaches, and they absorb that and they pass it on to guys like Jay Bruce, who absorb it and then puts it into work.
Well, to me, as a young player, you should be absorbing everything you can to try to get better.
Right.
To me, it's very naive and it's very simplistic. And as a Yankee fan, I don't like hearing that. Like, I'll just see the ball, hit the ball. Like, that's like what they did 50 years ago. Like, to me, you should be doing everything you can to get better. As someone that's in AAA that wants to come up and make an impact in the Bronx and be a star player in the major leagues, you need to look at hard hit percentage and exit velocity and launch angle and to see what you can do better instead of see the ball, hit the ball. Because when you get up and face the best pitching in baseball and you face the Clayton Kershaws of the world, the Max Scherzers of the world, you can't just see the ball, hit the ball because you're not going to see the ball.
And that's to Michael Waterloo's point in the article. Maybe he hasn't done it yet, but once you get to the majors, you probably can't escape it.
Well, he should be doing it now, in my opinion. Now, you know, you just learn early, you know?
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for the Roto Experts at the Park. For the entire interview, you can hear it on demand or at rotoexperts.com. Hey, stick around. Another hour of the Roto Experts comes your way. Is Mike Lyon at the bottom of the hour? Corey will try to defend his championship. Stick around. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. My name is Greg Sussman, and joined by Fantasy Executive Corey Harsin, Scott the King Angle, Matt Modica, CTN Baseball, also known as the King Slayer. I like that, Corey.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Hey, so Sun hit another home run last night, right?
Sunshine did?
No, yeah, not Manny Machado.
Manny Machado did hit another home run last night.
Took him 30 seconds to, to go around the bases. I love it.
That was David Ortiz-esque.
Yeah, no, that's what Big Poppy did. You know what I'm saying? That's what Big Poppy. He took his time getting around the bases. So I hope they know. Manny Machado gonna need an escort, a police escort to get out of Boston. I'm telling you,
he's doing it right. I mean, he's killing them with the home run. The game prior. The game the night before that first inning against Pomerantz, he just missed a 3-run homer, just foul.
Wow!
So I mean, he's paying them back.
Yeah, his home run last night went into the went over the wall into the seats above the Green Monster last night.
Monster.
And the previous night, Buck Showalter said, "You're gonna keep going at him. He's gonna hit 100 home runs."
Yeah, I love Buck.
Yeah, Machado did do that last night. He finished the game 2-for-5. Seth Smith was actually 4-for-4 last night.
Yeah.
Hitting the top of the Orioles lineup. He's hot again, guys.
Yeah, he's been a nice pickup for him. It's like we've never really talked about him. You know, veteran major league who's bounced around the league for a while, maybe may have found a home at the top of that lineup.
The rest of the Orioles lineup, yeah, 2-for-4. David Mark Trumbo was batting 211, while Chris Davis was 1-for-4, batting 226. These two guys, Matt, have struggled in recent weeks and started off the season. Who do you think has a better chance to turn it around?
I mean, Trumbo, I think he can bat close to 250 again, and hit. I mean, but we're looking at two similar guys. I mean, it's really. Really much of a coin toss to me. I'm going to be honest with you.
Okay. No lean either way.
I mean, not really. I can say a name, but I'm not really like giving you a
gung-ho about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Dustin Pedroia hit his first home run of the year last night for the Red Sox. So that happened.
That's cool.
Well, back to Trumbo, though, for a second.
Sure.
He's just got two home runs so far.
It's bad.
And yeah, you know, obviously, but you know, his strikeout and walk rates really aren't out of whack what we saw last year. Of course, you know, he's not going to hit that amount of home runs, but you know, look, if you want to buy on Trumbo right now, the home runs are going to come in bunches. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. Kyle Kendrick pitched for the Red Sox. He got bombed, 4 innings, 8 hits, 6 runs, just 1 strikeout for Kyle Kendrick. While you had Tyler Wilson pitch 6 innings of 3-run ball with 1 strikeout himself. That's a quality start.
Yeah, Asher got sent to the minors.
This is BS. Asher's pitching really well.
Yeah,
maybe that's like back, just though. A corresponding. Yeah,
I hope so. Maybe so. I hope he'll be back.
What's embarrassing here is a team like the Red Sox with all their stuff they have. Starting Kyle Kendrick is just come on.
It's crazy.
We really have. This has really been like the year of the
retreads. They lost Steven Wright. He's going to have season-ending surgery on Monday.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. However, given that it was a 5-run lead, the Orioles did go to their normal 8-9 combination. So Brad Brock in the 8th, Zach Britton in the 9th. Everything seems fine with those two. Given that Britton's back, he's pitching the 9th. Are you guys cool with dropping Brock, or are you still holding on?
For who? It really does depend for who, because like we've said.
For Robert Gazelman.
I could see doing that. Yeah, if you need the starting pitcher and you want to stream him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I thought Gazelman, I was like, it's just the command. Now, the velocity scared me. I would take that chance. If I needed to take a chance and I needed a starter, yes.
Because if Gazelman turns it around, now's the time you got him and maybe not paid a lot for him either.
I think Scott made the perfect point there. That's what you want to do. Like, even for you, if you get him now, I'd say whenever he starts this weekend, he has a fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like. No, I don't know. I have to look at my match.
You have four moves.
Yeah,
I mean, my one worry is that Miami's seen him already, though, this year.
You're right, but that would be. Miami's seen him, what, twice already this year.
Mm-hmm.
But see, now, if he comes out and gets everything together, pitches very well, I'm going to be really encouraged.
It'll put him off balance.
They have seen him.
So I do it, yeah.
We were just talking about, obviously, the Red Sox and the Orioles here, and there's been a lot of controversy surrounding these two teams here this week in Boston. When we come back, we're going to hear from Danny Martinez, and we're going to hear his interview last night with someone that was actually involved in some of these, I don't know, attacks, but these racist comments. He had someone on his show last night. We want to play the full interview because we thought it was that awesome. Stick around. We'll be right back here on the Real Actors in the Morning. Roto Experts in the Morning is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And Corey, I know we've been talking about this race issue here in Boston and in between Boston and Baltimore with the names Adam Jones was called all week. And last night, Dan got an opportunity to chat with the guy that, you know, basically called the dude out.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to.
Well, yeah, I thought you was going to say something. Oh, you want me to set it up?
Well, yeah, I started to, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, the spitting statistician. He's friends with the homie, so I know a lot of people was trying to get him on the program and stuff, but he said that he would do Dave Martinez first. So they hopped on, they recorded it last night. So I don't even know the gentleman's name, but I guess this is the guy that, you know, was the whistleblower for the situation with Adam Jones. So, and he's right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. How about that?
That's pretty much what I said the other day on Old School. Like, if you were in that, if you were sitting in that section and you heard this and you didn't do nothing, you're pretty much culpable as well.
That's crazy.
Would you allow that in your neighborhood, on your block?
Absolutely not. So. Absolutely not.
Corey, what do you think of, and, you know, putting this whole Adam Jones issue aside, though, like the fact that Machado's beefing with the Red Sox, and you got the Red Sox, you got the Celtics and the Wizards. Like, a lot of controversy surrounding Boston right now.
Yeah, and they asked for it. They deserve it. They asked for it, and I hope they lose all the games, all of them.
Every single one of them.
Zero. I want the Wizards to beat them 7-0.
That's not possible.
We'll redo the 7-game series. But listen, we you know. I mean, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm not fan-wise, you know, it's not my thing, whatever. So, you know, but they have good sports teams. You can't knock that. And they're going to be in the mix of controversy and things like this come up with this town and you know, from time to time, you know what I mean? But let's not act like it can't happen anywhere. I'm quite sure it happens at Madison Square Garden and places like that sometime too, you know what I'm saying? So, not just trying to single them out, you know what I mean? But I want to hear what this young man had to say to Dane Martinez.
I'm really excited to have Calvin Henick, who I saw, you know, as a friend, to be honest, post his experience the day right after all the drama with Adam Jones at Fenway. And what I thought was really interesting is that, you know, he actually took his son as a birthday present, and it's memorable for different ways. Calvin, as someone who we used to work together in schools in New York, first, thanks for coming on the show, and also, if you don't mind explaining what happened on Tuesday.
Yeah, Dan, thanks for having me. So, Tuesday was the day after Adam Jones had, you know, faced these racial taunts and had, you know, objects thrown at him at Fenway, and I had just happened to have tickets to the game. I was going with my son and my father-in-law, and my wife is Haitian, so my father-in-law is black and my son is half black. And I was just kind of like, whoa, this is it's a weird time to be going to a game. And I, you know, I was sort of thinking throughout the day, is there a way to like support Adam Jones? I hadn't heard about Mookie Betts, you know, saying that people should do a standing ovation, which people did, and that was nice. But it was just sort of on my mind already. And then we get to the stadium, and this young Kenyan woman does the national anthem, and right as soon as she's done, this white fan next to me leans over to me and said, she sang too long, and she N-worded it up, like used the slur as kind of like a verb to describe her singing style, which was just, you know, not even something I'd even heard before, let alone, you know, it was shocking for content, but then, like, you know, linguistically, I wasn't used to that sort of thing.
So, I mean, one of the things that, you know, we even talked about is this idea, and one of the things I've mentioned here on the Fantasy Freestyle before is that, you know, one might argue that over the last 6 months, this, which has been around, has been somewhat emboldened in our society. What I want to know is really what did the rest of the people in the section, because, you know, you got security, and then, as I understand, then he kind of denied it originally to authorities that this is what was happening. What was the tone like in the section? Did other people kind of back you up, or was everyone just kind of quiet and looking the other way? What was the section like? Because that's what I think about when I see things at stadiums occur.
Like, he didn't scream it out. I've been at stadiums where people have, like, really shouted homophobic slurs at the players and stuff like that, and I've called people out for that, too, in the past. But this, he just kind of, he leaned over and he said it to me. It's possible the people behind me heard me, but I don't know. I was kind of seeing red at that point. I was like, you know, just focused on handling the situation. And so I asked him to repeat it because I thought maybe I misheard him. Like, it's so incredible that he would say this. He repeated it, and I repeated it, I said, is this what you said? To be clear, this is what you said, and he said yes, and I stand by it. And which, I mean, is a cowardly thing to say because he, of course, didn't stand by it initially once, you know, the Fenway security team got a hold of him. But after he said he stood by it, I just immediately excused myself and went and found an usher because I wanted to get my family out of that situation. It was sort of my first pull there, and I kind of wasn't even thinking about who might have heard it or who didn't. I just wanted to, you know, I wasn't thinking about it becoming a big incident. I just wanted to get my family out of the way of that.
Yeah, and I know one of the things I saw actually from your Facebook post was that on some level you were conflicted about actually posting this. Now that you're, say, you know, 48 hours removed, I know it's been a whirlwind for you, but how has the response been? And do you think that it's you made the right choice to kind of get this out there, especially in this way this week when the conversation has been, you know, such a spotlight on this conversation?
Well, I mean, I do think, you know, kind of, I'm a former journalist, sometimes journalist still, and I think that, you know, the old cliche is true that sunlight is the best disinfectant. I think it's important to sort of bear witness to things as they are in the world and to not sort of, you know, sweep things under the rug. The thing that I worried about once it became kind of a media thing was, you know, today's my son's sixth birthday, and this is how I've spent his sixth birthday. He's at school, but, you know, I've been, his presence was sitting downstairs waiting to be open, and I've been doing media interviews about somebody dropping an N-bomb right in front of him, you know, or right next to him. He didn't quite hear it. And then today I had to, you know, we were on the front page of the Boston Globe this morning, and I didn't know whether that might get brought up to him at school, and I felt like I had to prepare him for that. And so I had to have a conversation with him in very broad and G-rated terms about what sorts of things this man said and why he got kicked out and why people thought that that was worth writing a news story about. And, you know, my son was kind of upset. He said, I thought, you know, we talked to him very broadly about racism and segregation, and he said, I thought that it was over about white people and black people not getting along. And I said, you know, it's not over. Some people are still angry about things.
Wow. You know, to participate in that lesson must be an incredible experience. Calvin, I only have like one more question for you, and thanks again for taking the time to talk with me. I guess it's, you know, what, you know, this incident has happened, this one person is gone, but is this a bigger issue at Fenway Park in Boston? I know I don't want to paint anything with a broad brush, right? But you hear other athletes have come out and say that this is just something acknowledged that they deal with all the time. What has your experience been? I mean, someone who has spent time in New York and now in Boston and maybe other places in the city, is this a particular challenge that you face?
You know, it's hard for me to say, especially as a white man in Boston. I mean, if you ask a person of color who goes to Fenway all the time, they might be able to give you a clearer picture of what they see. But from my perspective, it almost is beside the point. Like words matter, and these incidents do matter, and I think it's important that they get reported on. But racism doesn't start and stop with ethnic slurs. You know, Boston is a largely segregated city with, you know, not equal access to quality, affordable housing, healthcare, education, things like that. And that's not unique to Boston. That's large cities all throughout America. And I think that if we're going to have these conversations, they can't stop once we're done talking about a slur or the word. If we're going to really address racism, you know, there's this mythic national conversation about racism we need to have. And if we're going to have it, it needs to be honest. It needs to be led by people of color, I think. And it needs to get into the things that really affect their lives and not just work.
Well, but we've seen this even like as a huge slogan in soccer, you know, across Europe, say no to racism, where things get done, you know, repeatedly, much even more vile than that. But it doesn't really seem to, you know, this element is still there. What, if anything, like would actually represent progress in this area?
I mean, if we're just talking about what people feel comfortable with, you know, in terms of they feel comfortable spewing this bile, I honestly think the national political climate has a lot to do with it. I think that, you know, when you have, not to get too political, but when you have the occupant of the White House willing to denigrate entire classes of people, I think other people who feel the same way feel like they have implicit permission to do the same thing. So I think that's part of it. But other than that, I do think that, you know, I think the Sox have been pretty clear this week that they're not going to put up with this. And I do think that if a similar fan was going to show up with a chip on his shoulder ready to shout out some ethnic slurs tonight, I think that fan, at least for this week, might think twice about it. Now, I don't, you know, I know that it's been a difficult problem to eradicate in Europe and other places. I would, you know, it's hard for me to put myself inside to say that word and shout it at people, but I would have to think that they're thinking twice about it this week if that was their intention.
And are you going to think twice about taking your son to Fenway again?
No, I mean, you know, I think whenever you go to a sporting event, you got to watch out for drunk people or people that, you know, are going to be shouting. As I mentioned earlier, I've been at Yankee Stadium back when I lived in New York, and people are shouting homophobic slurs at players. You know, I've never been to an NFL game, so outing myself as kind of a casual sports fan here, but, you know, I hear that those can be dicey places to bring young kids to for other reasons. So, I would definitely bring my son back to Fenway. You know, I think anytime you're in a large group of people, you got to kind of be aware of your surroundings, but no, this won't keep me away from the ballpark.
All right, well, I don't want to keep you too long, Calvin. Thank you so much for, you know, quite frankly, as we've said on this show before, I believe that an important part here is that we as a society cannot become desensitized to this or immune to it. It is still not okay, and it must be addressed, and it can't, you know, become something where it's, you know, some kind of quote-unquote locker room talk or stadium talk. So I appreciate you coming out and saying what you have, even though it is, the learning experience for your son on his sixth birthday that you were not necessarily expecting. Go on and wrap those presents, and I hope you and your family get to enjoy his sixth birthday.
Thanks a lot, Dan. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much, Calvin.
There you go. There's Calvin's interview with Dave Martinez. Corey, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's like, oh, it's another day at the office. You know, I don't mean to say it like that, but, you know, yeah, this is what happens sometimes at, you know, ballparks and things like that. I feel bad for the dude, you know what I'm saying, because he had his son with him and stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the fan whispered over, hey, buddy. And he said what he said. And then he was like, excuse me? And he said, you heard me. And then he was like, yeah, and I meant it. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's where that bravado came out right there. So, I mean, it's an unfortunate situation that this, I mean, but it is, I mean, it happens, you know what I'm saying? I think the highlight of it is it's happening more now, you know, or it's like, it's almost, you know, it's different this time. And then, I mean, when we come back, can I talk about Curt Schilling, please?
Absolutely, it's a natural transition. We'll do that when we return to the other left. I know we just played the interview with Dean Martinez and Calvin out there in Boston. Scott, you had a comment on it.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing, unfortunately, you know, is not limited to Boston.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, maybe, you know, I'm part of an interracial family myself, and, you know, sometimes sometimes it's interesting that, you know, I can be a white guy and, you know, something, I'm alone with somebody else and they think, or they're near me and they think that they can say something like that, and then I take offense to it. You know, it's, you know, so I kind of felt like exactly what he was going through when I heard that interview.
So there you go. Matt, I guess before we move on, do you have anything else on that?
I mean, it's pretty much like I said the other day. If you were at the game and you heard it and you sat there and did nothing, you're as culpable as the person saying it. That's how I feel. I mean, if you don't stand up for certain things, then, you know, what do you stand up for?
So, Curt Schilling always seems to find a microphone.
He does.
And somebody turns it on. And Curt Schilling has stuff come out of his mouth. So, this Breitbart radio that he was on, webcast. Well, now, who distributes this? Oh, just right there on their website. I've never been to the website.
I'm
sorry. Great computer would explode. All right, so... So this is Curt Schilling. This is one of my favorite people along with Phil Jackson, Curt Schilling. And I spent most of my adult life in baseball parks. I've heard the N-word out of my black teammates' mouths about 100 million times, he said. All two of them that was on your team. So for somebody to talk loud enough for Adam Jones to hear the N-word in center field, other people would have heard it. Schilling added, if someone did say that, we're going to see it and hear about it. I would apologize to Adam Jones for doubting him. But until then, I think it's bullshit. I think he is causing, he is creating a situation. He also went on to call Adam Jones a social justice warrior.
Why would Adam Jones make up something like that?
I would like to know that, Scott. he said that this is the times that we're living in now, and that Adam Jones wants to be a social justice warrior. And I'm like, but this is like Adam Jones you talking about. You feel what I'm saying? So Adam Jones, but Schilling,
if you're cowardly enough to say it in the stands, you usually have a mentality of like, I'm just going to say it. And then, you know, if anybody says anything, you know, I'll make like I didn't say it or whatever. You know, how can Adam Jones make that up? That's ridiculous.
I think Corey made a good point. Corey said, this is the times we live in. When people say everything is racist, and you know, when you start saying, when you start putting everything into a thing, it's like people call Trump, whether you hate him or not, people call Trump Hitler all the time. Do you know what Hitler did? I mean, that's not a fair comparison. That's an insane comparison. Kurt Schilling is a jackass.
Yeah.
Kurt Schilling should have a mic in front of him so you can hear what a jackass that he is. And you can be, you know, it's about knowing what people, let him talk. Let him show the fool that he is. And, you know, he's exposed.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, love it.
I believe in free speech.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tolerate certain things. But if, you know, you have to hear people's idiocy in order to be informed.
When Kurt Schilling talks, I listen because I want to hear, you know what I'm saying, you know, how far we've come. And I mean, you can tell by some of the
not far.
Yeah, exactly. So, right. But the story with me, right. So I was scrolling through Facebook, right. And I saw where WFN, the radio station right here in New York City, had, you know, posted on their Facebook page an article about the situation that went down in Boston. So I was like, I'm going to read the comments. The comments, right? You would have thought that these were people that listened to WFN. You would have thought that, you know, this was like 1962. They was like, well, Jackie Robinson went through the same thing and he didn't say nothing. Adam Jones should just take it. And I'm kind of like, wow, that Jackie Robinson went through it 60 years ago. You feel what I'm saying? Like, yeah, no, and it was like, and it, the thread kind of was this, yeah, okay, things like this happen, but Adam Jones should not stir the pot like this. He should be more like Jackie Robinson. This is 2017.
Yeah, it's like it's Adam Jones' fault.
Yeah, it's like it's Adam Jones' fault for yeah, bringing it up. You know ridiculous what I'm saying? And here's the thing about it is, it's probably happened a million times to Adam Jones, and he did not bring it up. But this time, he was like, it was something different about it this time. That's all it was. So I found it interesting. So for everybody's like, oh, Boston this, Boston that, probably going on in your same hometown, too.
The one good thing about the internet, it just shows us
how it takes the mask
stupid,
off.
Yeah. How stupid the masses of society are. I mean, it's just.
What happens, though, in this situation like this, if Adam Jones says, you know what? I'm going to hop in the stands.
Right.
And I'm gonna hop
like
in the
stands. Indiana Pacers
I'm gonna hop in the stands and see what you're gonna do. Yeah. Who gets in trouble then?
I will tell you a story.
When I was in the garden back.
I was swinging the corn.
This was outside Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
In the 1980s, Cesar Cedeño, former Astro, shot his wife.
Oh no!
Right. And
this is a true story.
Yeah, I think it was an accident. I don't remember the story, right? And I'm with these guys who I'm no longer friends with, right? And I'm at the Met game with them. And, you know, they wait outside the parking lot for the Astros bus to come out. And they make it a point to abuse the players. Cedeño comes out. My friends, the friends at the time start chanting, shoot your wife, Cesar, shoot your wife.
Oh, wow.
Right? Cesar Cedeño comes out of the parking lot and up to us and says, which one of you chicken shit MFers said that? And he looks right at me. He goes, did you say it?
And you were like, no.
I was like, hell no. Because I didn't.
Yeah.
And then the other guy I'm with, he goes, did you say, you know what the guy with me said?
What?
He goes, yeah, I said it.
Yeah.
So we know what Cesar Cedeño does?
What?
He says, you MFer, take your glasses off. He rips the glasses off his face. He goes to punch him.
Yeah.
And the cops intercept him.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow, that's, see what I'm saying? No, when you want to talk tough, you got to understand that sometimes somebody hop in the stands. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, people got big muscles on the internet.
Yeah,
nowadays.
Exactly.
Everybody's, yeah. You know, everybody's
keyboard warriors.
E-gangster.
I guess I gangster.
It
was kind of the equivalent of last night, the dude at the Ranger game getting the sloppy seconds chant.
Oh, what was that? What's that about? That's so funny.
Do you remember when I forget the guy's name, but he's dating Sean Avery's ex-girlfriend. I think it was Lisa Cuthbert, actually. Yeah. Oh, okay. Lisa Cuthbert's husband, and he plays for the Senators.
Yeah.
And Sean Avery, when he played in New York, like, I guess yeah. he played this guy, and he's like, oh, this guy's got my sloppy seconds.
Yeah, sloppy. That's dude, funny,
like,
though.
Like, that's funny. Like,
yeah.
So like, erupted in sloppy second chance last
night. I love that.
I'll admit to chanting it. It was, that's funny. It was one of my favorite yeah. chants. It's going back, it's been on, you know, Madison Square Garden, Dennis Potvin.
Yeah.
They've ridiculed
yeah.
for years.
Yeah. Still
do it. Yeah. The chant was, somebody blows the whistle, they clap, beat your wife, Potvin. That was the chant. And everybody yeah. does it.
Everybody did it.
You know, obviously, you know, that can't be tolerated anymore. You know, I'm saying.
But that's what I'm kind of saying, though. It's like fandom is so passionate. You feel what I mean? So that's why I think when she sees Sebastian and others say, well, we know when we're going to, you kind of expect that when you go there. But the thing about it is, it's different now. Yeah.
The people in that section
yeah.
need to take a hold of that.
Yeah.
And look, I understand if you're with your 6-year-old son yeah. or you got a 7-year-old daughter, but I'm sure there's enough men
dudes, yeah.
and people there. And look, what's the worst that's going to happen? You stand up for something like that,
yeah.
and the guy throws you a beating,
yeah, I mean, really, and then you're on TV all the next day. Right? Yeah,
are you that? Would you not stand up for other things in your life?
And that's what I'm. But that's kind of what you know. You got people nowadays. It's kind of just it doesn't affect me, so I'm gonna keep it pushing. So, you know what I'm saying. But to Greg, if he does go in the stands, who's in trouble? Adam Jones or the fan?
Adam Jones.
Jones is in trouble, but I would seriously find it very hard for a jury to rule.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of instances in the past, not where fans would rail at players for whatever, and the player would take exception.
Yeah. I mean, we had something in the NBA a couple of weeks ago where Pat Beverly went into the stands, right? Sure. And somebody says, no, that was one of the owners, right? Or one of the owner's brother or something like that.
Was it Steve, is it Clippers' brother? Do the Clippers?
No, this was Pat Beverly. This is the Rockets and the Golden in the Oklahoma series.
Oh,
in the Thunder series, Beverly fell into the stands, and one of the dudes sitting right there, I believe he was like relative of the owner or something like that, said something to him, and Beverly kind of got up and got back in his face. We've seen Russell Westbrook do stuff before. You know what I mean? Like,
that incident with the Pacers?
The Malice in the Palace. Right there was just ridiculous.
That shows how bad it can get, though. We should all learn from that.
That was one of the wildest things I've ever seen in my life.
That was crazy.
Ever.
That was unbelievable. That was unbelievable.
I'm sure we'll all remember where we were. Like, could not believe it was real. Well, that's serious conversation. Is my lion.
Oh.
Coming up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Cinco de Mayo.
You do any Cinco de Mayo in Greg?
Yeah, man.
You do? You into it?
We always go out with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
He and his girlfriend, my girlfriend and I, my sister and her boyfriend, we all go out and we drink bargs and eat guac. And
yeah.
Chimichanga or burrito?
Burrito for me. Burrito for me.
For me, it's still Friday.
Yeah, me too.
Fish on Friday, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Fish Fridays for you?
No, you're saying.
Fish on Friday. The uptown tradition.
Mm.
It's raining today. So
you get sushi on Fridays as well.
I can do that. Yeah, when you go uptown,
it is fish.
When I get back to the block though, it's got to be fried fish. And but the line be crazy, but it's raining in the day, so that might quell it.
You know, it's crazy. That was one thing about being here so early this morning. It was beautiful out when I walked over.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was like right? gorgeous out.
Yeah. Oh wow. So, not when I came in.
Yeah, like my you guys both came in here like, oh my god, it's raining like cats and dogs out there. Like, it didn't even rain when we were out there, Scotty. So
no.
Hey, with that.
This Florio tweeted out it's time for Is Mike Lying. Did he put his own Twitter handle in there? Let's see if he was being a big shit. Yeah, he put. So everybody, let's go. Make sure you follow Mike Florio so he can get some followers so he don't gotta keep putting his Twitter handle in the damn tweets. I used to do your job, Mike. I know it. You think you slick son of a gun.
Mike Florio, how are you this morning?
I'm good. I mean, I'm getting ridiculed. My haircut, my teeth.
Well, if you tune into Best Friends Forever at 1 o'clock,
oh yeah, you get to see Mike. Yeah, that's right.
YouTube live.
You can be the judge.
You can be the judge if you like. Well, then we put a poll up there, Florio, or you put a poll up about your hair.
At Fantasy BFFs will put up a poll.
There you go. At Fantasy BFFs, do not miss it. All right, Mike Florio, we have the defending champion Corey Parson, the interim champion Matt Modica.
It's gonna be hard to win again.
So Corey, where would you like to go in the order?
Well, I'm going dead last, brother.
He's the first. He's the champ. All right, you're going dead last. I'm gonna play because I like this game. It's fun. So we'll be real quick. I will go first. That means, let's do it.
Abisail Garcia leads all qualified hitters in batting average against lefties.
He crushes left-handed pitchers, Abisail Garcia. He crushes them. It's probably true.
Abisail Garcia. You're last. I know.
I'm going to say false.
Just the odds are in your favor.
Abisail Garcia, false.
Abisail Garcia.
Abisail.
Abisail Garcia. Oh, this is false.
Greg, what did you say again?
Is it true?
Yeah, it's false. Point for everyone. He is second. He's hitting .500 against left.
I wasn't far off.
One player is hitting higher.
I go first here. Thank you very much. I go first. The one player that's hitting left-handed pitcher better than anybody this season is Jose Altuve.
No.
Okay.
Ryan Zimmerman?
No.
Danny Valencia?
No.
That would be nuts. That would be nuts.
It's not Ryan Zimmerman. Then it is Bryce Harper.
Wow. Yes.
Fantasy executive.
Nice.
Fantasy executive.
Yeah, you got my Washington Nationals the best offense.
Keep my eye on you, Corey.
Two for Corey Parson. One for Scott Angle, Matt Modica.
Well, you know,
zero for me.
Remember Modica? I have like my memory is like photographic. Remember on the show yesterday we was doing season leaders to this point. I'm just remembering the
question number two is Matty Mose.
That was.
Yeah, you're right.
Justin Turner leads all qualified hitters against righties, an average.
False.
Let's say Dr. Zayas. It's true.
This is also false.
I'll go with false also.
Greg, man. It's true.
Scotty, the king!
Look at the king on
the king! Two for the king, two for Parson, one for Modica, zero for me, but it's early in the game. Scott Angle, question number three.
You're going to see a trend here. Bryce Harper leads all qualified hitters in home runs against righties.
I see where this is going.
False.
Home runs against righties. Okay.
This is a good question right here.
You like this one?
I think I'm going to say this is false.
I'll say it's false as well.
I think it's false.
All false? All get a point.
Get a point. All right,
good job.
Bryce Harper is second. There's one player that has more.
Can you tell us how many home runs Bryce has against righties?
Yeah, he has 9.
He has 9. One person has 10 home runs against righties. King?
Ryan Zimmerman.
No. Ryan Zimmerman has 8.
Parson.
Close.
Home runs against right-handed pitchers. So it's either one of two people. Aaron Judge.
This guy's on fire.
Yeah.
I knew that one, too. I was just hoping he didn't say it.
Was the other one Eric Thames?
Yeah, yes. I was going to say Eric Thames.
I was Eric. I mean, Eric Judge 13. I was like, the odds are.
Yeah, it was how you judge the Thames.
I was lucky in the rotation that time.
You were. That was good.
Corey Parsons got 4 points.
Location. Oh,
yeah. The King has got 3 points. Right? He's a false player. He's got 3 points.
Yes, he has three.
I have one. Modica has got two.
I got three.
You got two.
I had two before.
You have two, Modica.
Jeez,
sorry.
Rangers got two wins, too, though.
Sure.
So you're good.
Question number four is Corey Parsons.
All right, there we go.
According to a study that UberFacts tweeted out, Arkansas is the worst state for romantic relationships.
Oh, okay. About to say no, Boston. No, Arkansas is the worst state for romantic relations. Farmersmangle.com.
You don't have to be lonely.
With farmersonly.com.
How do you guys know the song to that?
Don't worry about it. It's a long story. All right, so bad. Yeah, that was a commercial inventory at the mothership. Farmers Only. I think it's got Arkansas looks like it's tough, but Bill and Hillary Clinton did start dating in Arkansas.
They did.
So I'm going to say this is false.
I will say it is false as well.
Well, Virginia is for lovers.
They
unless your name is Jake Sealy. So.
Right, yeah.
I am going to say this is true.
Uh-oh. I'm going to say false. People marry their sisters and stuff like
that's
that.
That's West Virginia, but
no, that's Arkansas. False.
Well, the reasoning was weird, but this is false. Do you guys want to guess the state? There's 49 others.
We'll go around once, the state. So, Matt, you got that wrong. Nice, we're tied up. All right, we'll go around once and try to guess the state.
That's crazy, try to guess the state.
You got one shot.
The state that's worse for, I mean...
Worse for lovers.
The Mississippi?
No.
Alabama?
No.
Alaska?
No.
That's a good one.
Utah?
No.
All right, what is it?
North Dakota.
Mm, I can see that.
Mm, it's up there in that area.
That's the inland.
Corey's got five. Angle's got four. I have two?
Two, yeah, and Modica.
Modica's got two. You got that wrong. I like to make that clear. All right. Question number five.
Eric Thames leads all qualified hitters and homers against lefties.
It's not common. That was easy.
Is the question easy, though?
False.
I'm going to say false as well.
True.
Oh, Angle. Yeah. Goes before you.
Oh, sorry.
False.
True.
We have a tie atop the leaderboard.
The King!
And we also have a tie for second between you and Matt.
Well, Matt and I have three. Corey and Scott have five. But how many people are above have more than Eric Thames?
One.
One person has more home runs than Eric Thames against left-handed pitchers. And I go first, and his name is Ryan Zimmerman.
It is not.
Damn it.
Ryan Zimmerman has been a guest for every question.
I'm going to say Aaron Judge.
No.
Ooh, not Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge has three homers against lefties.
Well, we knew he had 10 against righties.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Marwin Gonzalez.
No.
Corey, get his point back.
I said, repeat the question, please.
Well, it was Eric Thames leads the league against leads qualified hitters in home runs against lefties. One person has more than Eric Thames.
More than home runs versus left-handers. Home runs. Bryce Harper.
No.
Oh.
There you go. So, who was it?
Manny Machado?
No, Manny Machado has four tied with Eric Thames. Close. The one who is more is Nolan Arenado.
Oh, I would not have gotten that.
He has five.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that one either.
That was tough. All right. Let's go to question number six. Matt and I are 2 points down from the leaders.
No qualified starter has a better home ERA than Irvin Santana.
This is Matt's question first.
False.
False.
True.
False.
Going against the grain has not worked out so far.
Not this game.
Oh, my goodness.
Scotty takes the lead. Matt and I go to four. Scotty's at six. Corey's at five. How many players have a better home ERA?
Two.
I think I know one of them.
And Matt, you are up first.
Dallas Keuchel?
No.
Wow.
Dallas Keuchel has a 0.94 ERA at home.
And it's not good enough.
Irving Santana's a 0.64.
Ooh.
Two people are lower.
Two people are lower than that. Scott Engel.
Chris Sale.
No.
Wow. I was going to say Chris Sale, too.
I got one more.
Chris Sale's a good guess.
That was.
I'm shocked it's not good.
Chris Sale has a 1.5 ERA at home.
Who's looking good? I don't even know.
Jason Vargas.
Yes.
That was the other one. Very nice, Corey. That was very nice. I was hoping he came back.
Brutal.
Corey.
Bro, this ain't nobody helping this guy.
All right. All right. So now the next one is me. Home ERA.
Corey's got a Bluetooth in the ear.
That's funny.
Chris Show.
I will go with... I have no idea. Max Scherzer.
No.
All right.
James Paxton?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was my other guess.
Are we counting Corey that? We weren't going around.
I thought it was coming to me. Yeah.
We went around. Is
we
that
went around, and I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, we're not counting?
No.
I will
we went around once. We went around one guess.
Sussman sucks. Sussman sucks. Hey,
leave it at that.
What is the score?
It is 6 for Corey and Scott. 4 for you and Matt, if we're not counting that. But I don't know. The panel seems to think so.
I don't care what the panel says. I'm a little mad.
Yeah, let's go.
Question number 7. Or 7.
I just want to
hear Jeff.
Scott Engel.
No qualified starter has a better road ERA than Julio Teheran.
King?
I am going to say false.
He's listening closely to the Bluetooth.
True.
False.
No qualified starter has a better
road ERA.
He doesn't have the best road ERA.
So you're saying false?
Yes. False.
Corey, man, I'm sorry. You're going against the grain again. It's false.
I'm trying to get the W.
Who's got a better road ERA?
There's two qualified pitchers.
Two pitchers.
Starters.
I think I don't know. Antonio Senzatella.
I was not expecting that, but no.
My turn?
Yes.
Chris Sale.
Chris Sale is 4th. Teron is 3rd. Chris Sale is 4th.
Dallas Keuchel.
Dallas Keuchel is not correct.
Damn it!
Cy Chatwood?
No.
Ooh. That was a good call right there.
We went around once, as we said. We're done because we got to move on. Who are the answers?
Andrew Triggs. And Irving Santana again.
Irving Santana.
Yeah. He does have an 066.
Seems to make sense. Okay. Floyd, you have a time for another one, or should you go to break?
We have another minute.
I have another minute. Corey Parson, question number 8.
Speed round.
According to UberFacts, you would have to do 250,000 crunches to burn 1 pound of body fat.
Really?
It's false.
It's got to be false. It's so many crunches.
True.
False.
Matty Moe gets a point.
Wow. Goes against the grain.
It's so outrageous.
First time it's worked.
It's worked. Wow, that's great. You had a lot of crunches. All right, give me the scores, Florio.
Scott, 7. Corey, 6. Matt, 6.
Yep.
And Greg, 5. A close game.
Great game going
on. Two questions to go.
We will get to them after the break. We have a defending champion. We have an interim champion. And we have a leader in the clubhouse that is just trying to win it and, you know, me doing whatever. All right. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning wraps up with this Mike Lyon. We send you into the OGs of old school fantasy coming up next.
Hey.
Mike Lyon, Scott and Corey lead the way at 6. Bodega one spot behind at 5.
Scott has seven.
Scott has seven.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's annoying. There's
some little Fugazi counting going on here.
I don't have the official scores. Official scores are downstairs.
It is seven.
All right, Scott has 7. Corey is 6. Matt is 5, and I have 4. And we have to question.
I don't have 6. Then I just have 6.
You have 6, or I have 5? Do I have 5?
It's 5, 6. 6, 7.
Oh, I have 5. Okay, so
you have 5.
That's why I knew I was 2 points down. Okay, this is question number 9, which means it is my question.
and let's do it.
Ryan Zimmerman leads all qualified hitters in ISO.
False.
Power.
True.
I'm going to say true.
True.
Greg goes against the grain and gets a point.
Hey!
Could he get another one? Could he tie the lead?
I have a first chance here, too. One player has a higher isolated power. It's got to be Aaron Judge.
Greg ties the game.
All rise for the judge. All rise. Let's go. Taking you down, boy. Question number 10 of Matt Modica.
7-7-6-6 is the score right now.
7-7-6-6. It is anybody's ball game. The best game we've ever had of Is Mike Lyon. Question number 10 for Matt Modica.
Of pitchers not on the disabled list, James Paxton has the lowest FIP.
It is a James Paxton question.
Pitchers not on the... That is false.
False, says Matt.
False.
False, says the king.
True.
True, says Corey, to try to tie it up. I'm going to say false and be smart and just get myself to overtime. False.
It is false.
Corey! Yeah,
a 153 FIP. One healthy pitcher has lower.
One healthy pitcher has lower. Matt Modica, to get yourself into overtime.
One healthy pitcher has lower.
Now, while he thinks, if he gets it wrong and Scott gets it right, does Scott win?
Scott's the champ, absolutely.
Okay.
Chris Sale.
Chris Sale?
Yes.
Three-way tie!
Modica brings it to overtime! How about that? There you go. We have a three-way tie to overtime. Question number 11, Corey. I'm sorry the champ's been eliminated.
That's just fine. That's all good.
Scott, the King Angle, it is your question first.
Jared Weaver has the highest FIP in all qualified starters.
True.
He sucks. True.
False.
True.
Matt Modica has been eliminated. Question number 12.
Avisel Garcia leads all qualified hitters in BABIP.
I will say that is false.
Avisel Garcia leads all qualified hitters in BABIP. I am going to say it's true.
Your new champion, Greg Sussman.
No! What a comeback, baby! For Matt Modica, for Scott Angle and Corey Parson, I'm Greg Sussman. The OGs are up next. Have a good one. The champ is here!